Welcome, everybody, to episode 23 of the Hot Rod Blues Podcast. I am your host, Sean Brereton.
I'm Mike Abbott with Steel Rose Metal Co.
I'm Sean Young with Kingfish Metal Works.
And I'm Javier Augustine with Bomber Steel Customs. We are in the Edge Motor Museum with our good friend Richard Vining.
That's right. Yes.
Richard, how you doing?
Doing good.
This is amazing, by the way.
Thank you.
If you guys don't know the space, you're going to know it a little bit after today, but you should definitely come down. What's the address? And we'll plug that right now.
645 Marshall Avenue. It's basically 600 feet down the road from
Sun Records. Sun Studios. Yes. Very historic part of Memphis. Mm-hmm. I love the space. I remember we did the show here. It was my first time here. And there's a lot of history in this building.
It was built as an automobile manufacturing plant. Yeah,
that's cool.
And we mix that in as part of the tour.
Yeah,
a lot of times. And then we uncovered a bunch of this stuff. We were renovating the building.
So, yeah, it's way cool.
And it's cool how you left the big rusty girders up there and all that kind of stuff.
Well, that stuff really was uncool for so long. Right? And you know, here we are.
It's industrial chic, man. That's the stuff to do.
Exactly.
Right. We're in big trouble.
Trademark.
If it ever goes out of chic.
Trademark. No, you just paint it. Then it's chic again.
Yeah,
and then you strip it down, and 30 years after that. There's something interesting that we had that conversation. There was a huge fire here. And that's stuff I'm into because of my real job. So
like the second or third tenant here was New Grape.
Yeah.
New Grape soda. Purple soda. And they also did potato chips in here. I don't know if that was part of New Grape or what, but there's potato chip. And so the kiln was basically behind you, Mike.
Right.
And you can still see the kiln door grooves over there and all that. And there was a huge fire, and apparently it was hard to put out. Mm. With all the grease and everything, and it baconed. I don't know if that's an actual term, but it baconed the steel right above you up there.
Yeah.
And the recommended fix at the time was to remove a joist over there and do an extra cut and stuff that when we went to do the renovation, they go, yeah, there's some magic green stamp you get to certify.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're like, no, that's not going to work.
Oh, the certificate of occupancy is what it was.
No, there was some metalworking.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Structurally. Okay.
Yeah. And so they were going to put a bunch of posts in here. And I was like, that doesn't work. So what can we do? And so we ended up building this massive scaffolding structure, and they picked the roof up several inches and installed all that over there. And then they did some tacking back behind us, these little plates that got it done. I remember that day because I came down here going, oh, this is going to be awesome. I can't wait to see this. You know, they're going to pick it all up. They've been building this stuff for weeks. I walk in and I go, I got to go. I don't want to watch this at all. And you know, to jack it up, they're hitting it with the sledgehammers and getting it.
Your baby is just getting destroyed.
I was like, yeah, I did not want to watch this at all. And so I just turned around and left, and it worked out. And thank God, here we are.
And you've got a place.
Yeah.
It's really awesome. But so how long have you guys been here?
This is our third year.
Really?
We opened April 2019.
Man, I felt like it's longer than that.
Tough time to open a museum there after that March. And, you know, particularly hard. Everyone got eaten up by COVID.
Yeah.
But Memphis is more reliant on international travel than other peer cities.
True.
Okay, it's the draw and power of Elvis. And when your business model is built around, hey, we're 600 feet from Sun Records, and you just got told you had a 90-minute wait, come on down here, and we'll entertain you for a little bit. And so, you know, a third of our ticket sales were to international. They're gone.
Wow.
I mean, we weren't even allowed to come here.
Yeah.
Now, you know, regional travel and all that picked up, but we're just now starting to see international travel again.
Yeah.
We need it.
Yeah.
We need it. It's been helpful. But I've said this from the beginning. We've got a really good exhibit.
Yes.
And give me a really good exhibit with a lot of support from different car owners, with fewer people than the other way around.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm extremely proud with the support we've had here and people trusting us with these cars and putting them here on loan with us. That has exceeded my expectations.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, you've got like a little club and everything too, right? That people can join to
membership model.
Membership, yeah.
Membership model.
It's just a little club.
Yeah, you know, a little club. Well, yeah, membership. Yeah.
And, you know, and it's as cheap as $25 if you're a student, and you know, discounts for seniors and all that, and you can spend thousands of dollars if you'd like as well. And we'll put your name on stuff and things. But and that's really pulled us along when you know you didn't have a lot of the travelers and things like that. Yeah. This summer's been fantastic.
Yeah,
it's felt like it was the first year we opened.
Yeah, that's tomorrow night is Hot Rods on Beale, and that was the thing too, is like when we had, of course we didn't have it one whole year, but when it came back, it still wasn't open to international travel, and that was one of the draws for going down there on a Tuesday night. Like those are the people that you would meet, where you know you meet some guy from Germany, you know, that had never seen American cars or whatever, you know, and he's asking you all sorts of questions and stuff. So it's really cool to meet the international travelers doing that. So I imagine you meet some really cool people.
Well, you've seen our map up front. I mean, it took us a couple months to figure we got to get a map and letting people pick the pens and put them in the map and all that. I met more people here in the first couple of months from around the world than I had in my entire life combined.
Yeah.
Beforehand. And they came to you, which was nice.
Yeah. And you know what? Their knowledge of these cars is way higher than I would have thought.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's internet or just still doing magazines or what. Their knowledge of this era of car is impressive.
Yeah.
Impressive.
Yeah. You know, I said Germany. I probably shouldn't have ever said Germany because the Germans, like, they know cars. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously they know cars because of their own cars, but they do. There's a big following in Germany of American cars. You know, I mean, you go over there. I was over there and ran into two or three car shows, you know, and it was just like, that was just from driving around and, you know, you come across a car show
One of my favorite things to do when we had German, they would look at that Hemi Dart that we used to have, or even the Challenger we have over there, and just go, oh, what a the gross waste of power.
That's right. This is excessive, y'all.
And I was like, okay, I would take it as a challenge to go, I'm going to make you like this, because I know that is a purpose-built car, and that thing is achieving its purpose beautifully.
Yeah.
All right, this is what this car is designed to do, and it does it better than anything else in this room, and I would say better than anything you have over there. And so they would kind of get into the whole, oh, okay, this thing's doing what it's supposed to do. I can get behind that. All right, so it is achieving its engineering purpose.
Yeah, like, different design.
You had to come at him from an engineering standpoint.
Yeah.
No, but of course, yes. It goes straight line, fast, but can it corner?
No, it wasn't designed to do that, no.
426 cubic inches. What is that, millimeter?
So
more. Yeah, more.
A lot more.
Yeah.
The era of car you have here, what's kind of the predominant era of car that you guys keep here at the museum? What's the focus for the museum here?
We say post-war to 74 primarily because that rhymes.
Sounds good. Before you said it, I was like, oh yeah, that rhymes.
That's good. Well, it's post-war, really kind of the energy crisis, and we take you because that's the fun year,
right?
We start the journey with that Soapbox Derby racer we have. The idea is that's a kid falling in love with speed, and maybe the exhibit is American speed.
Right.
But then those kids grew up, went to World War II, and were exposed to cars that they had never seen before. Mm-hmm. And so, initially when they returned home from war, they had just been trained to work with their hands if they were in the Army. There's 3 million of them, and they're buying Model A's and getting rid of a roof and hot rodding, and that's where that really takes off. But then U.S. business does what it does and responds to that demand.
Right.
And these initial, we do stuff in chronological order here. These initial cars, they had European sounding names.
Right.
Corvette, Kaiser Darin, Avanti.
Right.
And they're small, lightweight, underpowered, but we Americanized it pretty quick. We throw in a V8. Oh, yeah. We've got steel. We've got fuel. Brand new roads. The suburb increases demand for a two-car family, that sort of thing. So we go right up to where the EPA, the NTSB, the insurance,
right,
mafia,
for sure,
and then the oil crisis. It just crushed the car, and so this is so many folks that are music lovers, or Memphis is so good at its cultural and musical tourism stuff, and these are the cars from that era, and so we kind of see ourselves as a complimentary exhibit to the other stuff you're doing when you come to town,
absolutely,
but we keep it fresh enough to where if you're a local, we've still got stuff for you to look at.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's there's three new cars here since the last time I was here, and that was a month ago.
We got five booked for the summer. That's pretty good. And it does get logistically challenging. And so, particularly those late 60 cars, you know, it's a tighter space in here on the main floor.
Yeah.
And
big old.
Oh, moving that Hemi. Yeah, oh, my gosh. That was a large car.
Well, I'm glad you have those skates. You've got the, that helps.
We got the, even then. Yeah. The Go-Jacks. That it was challenging. And, you know, they're not ours. And so there's an added responsibility there.
Right.
To where, okay.
I'm nervous walking. We were setting up. I'm nervous walking around. I'm like, okay, there's a soft nylon cable, but what if I just fell? And like, like one of these mic stands fell. Sorry,
oops. Yeah.
You would see Richard get really, really mad.
I'm going to go ahead and put this out there for the people that have cars in this exhibit. I want to let you guys know that Richard is absolutely super responsible with your cars because I did everything I could to talk him into letting us chop a car up right in the middle of this place. And I spent probably 3 months working on that, and he was not happy.
Not happy. So,
he is very responsible with your car. There's no doubt.
It goes back to the whole, we've already had one fire in this building. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Have another one. Well, and I think I left it with, hey, I'll find you another example of this car. That's not as original. You know, maybe it's been blown up or something. Let me find that. These are as correct as possible. They're only going to be that way once.
Yeah.
Stay away. That's back off.
Right. No, right. Well, I mean, even to that was a conversation we had earlier about what's allowed in the exhibit. So what are some of the stipulations?
You know, up top, we've got room for three or four cars, and we just have fun with that. You know?
Right.
And it kind of sets the tone for what we do down here. Down here, you have to be as correct as possible. And we'll work with the owner. You know, if it was been upgraded to an alternator and it's 12-volt, you know, the car's probably better. But you know what? To display it here, let's take it back to generator 6-volt car, you know, and just make it as original as possible. Just to keep these, we want them to be proper representations of when they were designed and built.
Right.
Because, you know, the frustrations that came with that 6-volt system, that's what drove us to come up with better stuff.
That's why we have better stuff.
That's why we have better stuff now. So leave it alone. I appreciate the talent and skill and creativity it takes to do what you're wanting to do. But let's leave a few of them alone.
That was a really nice way of him saying, I appreciate the garbage that you do to cars.
I'll tell you this. You got to give Richard credit. He appreciated it so much. He let us
do it in the parking lot.
Do a garbage parking lot.
That's right.
Now, the hot rod in the back.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that was built by a gentleman who wanted to kind of honor the one that his dad had.
Dig that.
And, you know, there's not a single part on it other than the fuel cell that's it's newer than 1950. So it's a true period correct.
That's the little speedster back there.
Yeah, the one that's on the four post lift.
Yeah, it's on the lift.
Super cool.
That's way cool, man. That's like an old mod. I mean, that's what they were doing.
And before we detail it, I got to drive that thing around. It's a shame we detailed it.
What motor has it got in? It's got a four-banger?
It's got a flat six in it. Yeah.
Flat six.
Okay.
Yeah. He's got another one with an eight. That's maybe we'll see that one here.
Yeah. Okay. Let me know when that shows up.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So,
yeah.
It's a nice ride. And I will say, I didn't have a huge appreciation for that whole genre when it first came out.
Right.
When we started this project. I was like, I don't know if it fits. And then I went, okay.
That's where it fits,
that's where it came from.
That's the root.
So I say that to say I don't have all this figured out.
And
I have learned an awful lot. And a lot of folks will go, well, hey, you know, shouldn't you know that? And I'm like, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. You know,
the bank didn't ask that question, so here we are.
They just gave me the money.
It sounds like a great idea. Go for it.
Yeah. So, it's your enthusiasm they fell in love with. So
and my credit.
And my credit score. So,
which we are still holding on to. So let's go back to the original vision of this place. I mean, we have to go back to Richard as a boy, Richard as a teenager. What was a car? Was there a specific car or experience that where you're like, I'm going to do this?
You know, Memphis people will appreciate it because it started at like Cecil's. Remember that?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Cecil's.
You know, that dead grocery store?
Gone. My mom would always carry cars in her purse.
Yeah.
And I would always ask, one for each hand.
Keep you from touching stuff.
I would, when we're going through checkout, I would look forward to that because, you know,
the conveyor belt. Yeah, you could just run the car.
And they would race and go on, and they would just, you know, deal with it. In fact, then you're 10 keying stuff in, so it took a little longer. There was no beep, beep, beep. And
right.
So there. And that's kind of where it started with cars. My dad was an engineer by trade, as were his buddies as a result. And so he always liked British and German stuff. And okay. If I'm really, really honest, the reason I like the American stuff is because it's different than what your dad.
Right. Yeah.
He's a rebel.
And it's like, hey, we can like the same type sphere of things. But yeah, and I pick different stuff. But there's one time in particular this is a cool story because my dad died in 2018. He got to see this place, but it wasn't cool. Finished.
Right.
And that's why, you know, there's not a single step in this place.
Yeah.
It's all ramps and slope. That's because of him. He couldn't get around anymore. So, but I'm coming back from practice. He picks me up and we're driving down Ridgeway. Hickory Hill or whatever it was. And he's got a 911, a nice 911.
Okay.
And that was kind of one. He always wanted that car. He was in a place where he could finally get one. He got one. And so, and he liked to pull up. And there is a 5-liter Mustang.
The showdown.
Think mid late 80s, right? Yeah. And it is revving. 5-0, yeah. It is revving and stuff. And he goes, Richard, you want to do this? You know, this is my dad. My dad wore a tie to work.
How old
every day.
Are you at the time?
Maybe eighth, ninth grade, eighth grade, seventh grade.
You were
grade.
Ready to do this.
Yeah. And I go, yeah, let's do it. Yeah. Yeah. And I remember him looking at me and saying, don't tell mom. and just that Mustang does what it does. And it's just smoking and just all over the road. And he is just way down the road.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And he goes, what an absolute waste of horsepower. Engineer. Right?
Right.
Waste of horsepower. And I go, Dad.
That was cool.
That guy won. Yeah. I was like, that was really, really good. This was fast.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah.
Can we do that? Is there some button or switch that we can turn? And he's like, no, we can't do that. Yeah. But, you know, that is a point that I remember very fondly. I'm sure there's some nostalgia that's been heaped on it a little bit as well over time. But I look back at that going, yeah, that's kind of where we started to diverge. And, you know, when you start buying magazines and stuff at that age, that's kind of the area of focus. Keep in mind, that was a pretty dark time for American cars. as well. Anyway, that was kind of the starting point for, okay, let's get into this stuff. And from there, you know, you start having to buy your own stuff.
Right.
I was in my mid to late 20s when I bought my first, I would say, classic car.
Yeah.
The reason being is that the car I had, it was new at the time, became a used car.
Right.
Yeah. That's right.
This stuff here, it is not a used car.
That's
These are classic cars, and there's some depreciation you get to skip.
if you pick
the right one. Yeah. And so, you know, I like to say, when the hot new awesome car comes by and they're showing to you, and I was like, you know what, that'll be in 5 years. And I go, what?
Crushed.
And I go, a used car. That's right. That'll be a used car. But you know what that is? That'll always be a 57 Thunderbird.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Very much. Yeah, because I drive a classic every day, right? You know, and I had a 63 Oldsmobile that I drove for 8 years, and I sold that car for $5,000 more than I bought it for.
That's right.
There you go.
And I put miles on it and everything, and it was still, you know, that thing just ran, and it all I did was, you know, replace a radiator, I think, and maybe a fuel pump.
Right.
And I sold it for $5,000 more than I bought it for.
And I'm no expert mechanic or anything, but these cars,
I can work on them.
Well, they're made for that.
Yeah.
I mean, they have that. There was no end user have to come back to the dealership to plug in thing. You know, if you could turn a wrench.
It's not a USB port in your area. Yeah, there's no diagnostic
and
tool.
And back to what you were saying, you know, past the atomic era, and you got guys coming back that were trained in the military as mechanics, and they were mechanically inclined. And I think as a culture, we were more hands-on anyway.
Oh, yeah.
We roll up our sleeves and do that. There's less of that going on.
Yeah.
Now,
so. Yeah, these are fuel air spark.
That's right.
You know?
But we type today.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, especially coming to tuning, You know, I mean, gosh, man, you have to be an engineer just about in order to be able to tune a car these days.
No, I got buddies that are definitely not engineers that tune cars.
Yeah, but I'm talking about electronic tuning.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I have been tuning probably for the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Oh. I mean, everything from timing to, you know, a rejet, you know, the primaries and secondaries. I'll drive it for a week and see what I like better. So, yeah, there's a lot to be said for the old guys that do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what led you to the museum?
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought you were going to get away.
Because I'm pretty sure, now correct me if I'm wrong, you were in the banking industry, correct?
Several.
Started there.
Come from a family of institutional bond sales.
I did not see that one coming, Richard. So go ahead, bud.
Learned a lot about that industry, but I got into, started the company, sold the company, and then helped an organization that was important to me, that was building a facility and things like that, and it was a nonprofit. Right. So I got into nonprofit finance from there. Did that for 10 years, and so I learned how, you know, the nonprofit dollar is a little different.
Yeah.
And then from there, I started a small kind of estate planning service, right? I'm not an attorney or anything like that. Right. But essentially, it was a bill pay service that helped aging folks maintain their independence a little bit longer. Right. And you know, that you go through clients when they're in that stage of life, and you keep bumping into cars.
Yeah,
because
cars
get hung in estates.
Yeah. Right.
And so, you know, the original idea was, hey, and Memphis still needs this, some sort of storage auto spa facility
until that gets taken care of. Is it?
Yeah. And so originally, I also want to help expand this hobby. And so there are multiple iterations of how we ended up to where we are today. But I said, okay, we can do a storage place and we need that. And then maybe I was going to make it like a delivery, because I think the biggest impediment for a lot of folks of having a vintage car is it's a nice day. Let's go for a ride. I go out. I got a flat. I got a dead battery. It won't start. And so we would handle all that.
Mm, okay. Right.
This is still a good idea. And if someone wants to go do it, I've yelled uncle on the money train for this kind of stuff. But if someone, you know, get the car, deliver the car, and then you pick the car up when they're done with it. And I think that would make the hobby more enjoyable to a lot of folks.
Right.
And do all that. And just had a hard time trying to make that work, finding the right space.
That's a niche market, though. I mean, it's pretty.
Yeah.
That's boutique catering.
Yeah.
At its highest level.
But they do have them in other cities.
They have them in other cities.
Yeah. I like to call that cheating. You want a classic car, right?
Yeah. You don't want
none of the problems that come with a classic car.
That's right. Yeah. That's what money does for you.
Right.
Maybe it would stop some of the resto modding that shouldn't be going
on. Well, it's been real, guys.
What do you have to say about that, Sean?
See y'all later.
Richard, you have a lovely museum. Right.
Thank you. But from there, I couldn't make that work. And then we found this space here just... Remember the blue streamers that used to be hanging out?
Oh, yeah.
Up front?
Yeah.
My wife and I go run at the river in the mornings, and on the way we're going down, we kept seeing that. It's like, what is that thing? And we drove down here, and here we are. That was right out in our front door.
It looked beautiful, that.
Yeah. And so one idea connected to another, and then you'd have some attorney say, you can't do it that way. How long
was this building up for lease before you got it? Because it used to be a guitar factory.
It was not up for lease. It was owned by a guy in Chattanooga. And you know, this neighborhood was had a lot of strong tenants in it. Okay.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of things about to happen. Anyway, he was willing to sell it to us.
Yeah.
You
hit this neighborhood at the perfect
time.
I'm trying to figure out how to phrase this without
you hit it at the perfect time.
We hit it
at
a really good time.
You're riding the wave.
Really good time.
You caught a good wave.
For anybody who doesn't know, we are in the Edge District, which is why it's Edge Motor Museum, and this area is undergoing a revitalization.
Yeah, every day you pick up the paper and there's a whole, you know, another $15 million apartment condo thing that they announced yesterday.
I've been trying to get a spot over here for how long now?
Yeah,
the entire time you've been here?
Long enough to where it keeps getting priced even more out of your range.
I can't do it.
I've got a really unique story about this building. Yeah. So I've got a history in this building.
Okay.
So I do. Honest to God.
Your
so,
first boyfriend.
No. It goes back a little after that.
Oh, okay.
So this building was Crump Paget Antiques at one point. It's an antique store.
Okay. Yeah.
And I bought my wife's wedding ring in this very building.
Really?
You're just going to sit on that the entire time? How long have you been sitting on that?
No, I'm not. No, I knew it was coming out. Yeah. I knew it was coming out. But yeah.
So did we.
So yeah. That was the deal.
Yeah, he actually told me about that when we did the Legend show.
Yeah.
He told me about that. It's pretty epic.
Yeah, but, this was a hell of an antique store here.
Yeah.
I mean, it was nice.
I assume
when was that?
That was, we got married in 2004, so it was 2003.
Was that a tenant? You didn't know about that tenant?
We had to do a phase 3 environmental here, and
right.
They gave us a 900-page report. I'm not kidding. And so I went through, and so it's in there.
It would
be in there. But
I mean, and how catastrophic was this place when you got it? Obviously we talked about the fire and structural integrity, but when you walked in with, I'm assuming your wife.
It was in pretty good, I mean, it had a good heating and air.
Was it two floors? Was it two floors?
Yeah, there was a loft.
So yeah,
and there was a St. Blues Guitar Company who's still around, and they were doing those cool amps and stuff out of cigar boxes. That's the worst thing about this renovation, was that it no longer smells like cigar boxes.
Right.
It reminds me of my dad. He would always have a cigar, and man,
you inherited the sign out of that.
The guitar sign.
Yeah.
Yeah, the weekly equipment sign that was on this building. That's the really famous one. That one sold at Meekum 10 years ago, whatever, for 140 grand or something.
Oh, wow. Dang. Was that one, Walker? Did Walker own that?
I think, yes.
In his auction?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was the one with the animated pushing the lawn.
Yeah, pushing the lawn.
Oh, yeah. It is still at Mr. Walker's place, I believe.
Okay. Maybe he bought it then?
Yeah.
All right.
I think so. You know, I mean, he had his collection.
Because his radiator one just left not too long ago.
Yeah. So that's interesting about that. And it was completely unplanned, the estate and all that. You know, Walker right next to Sun, if you don't know the area.
Yeah.
We were talking about the pedigree and the history. Walker was a very famous radiator company, and that family owned a pretty big swath.
Yeah.
Legend show, we showed up early. I took a video of this. Yeah. It was one of the saddest things and one of the weirdest coincidences that we were doing that show. And I looked over and they were taking the sign down. That morning.
Yeah.
I remember I posted a video and I said, this is history happening right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Crazy.
I was a little devastated about it, but I'm happy because, you know, I talked to Vernon Jr. Isn't that what he goes by?
Yeah.
Vernon Jr. Mm-hmm. He came by the shop and I'm like, tell me about the sign. Like, what about the Walker radiator?
It's
sign?
Over there.
Oh,
he said, oh, my dad ain't letting that sign go.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Thank God it's staying in the family. It's not just sold off or whatever. But he's a really nice guy.
Yeah.
He's a really nice guy.
Yeah. I got to go over to Mr. Walker's place. I shot a car over there for All Chevy Performance and Sean Ryan. And he knows Vernon Jr. or whatever. And so he asked him if we could shoot the car over there. Because if nobody's ever seen Mr. Walker's place is over in West Memphis, Arkansas, on Interstate 40, and you can see it. It's just past West Memphis, and if you look off to the south of 40,
you might not
40,
want people knowing where it lives.
You can see it. I mean, like
give them directions.
Look, knock on the front door.
The gate code is 5.
Yeah, there is a gate, but I mean, you can't miss it because he has a full blown 1961 Texaco station out back that came from Joplin, Missouri.
Yeah.
And it is the entire thing.
Oh, it's got the
contents, everything.
Inventory, everything in it.
All the contents. It's got Texaco radiator hoses, Texaco spark plugs.
You ever been there, Richard?
Everything.
I drive by there all the time. No, I mean, I've seen the Texaco stuff. I didn't know it was a whole station.
We're going to have to get you in there.
Yeah.
You should see it.
It is incredible. It's incredible. And then so you see a big green building that's right there at the intersection. Mm-hmm. That used to house all of his neon. So he, you know, they had a Meekum auction.
That's where the Meekum auction was. Yeah,
at the place because there was so much neon in there, and it was $250 million or something.
I would do it that way too because shipping neon.
Yeah, you couldn't move it. I mean,
it had to be crated up and then foam injected because that stuff does not ship.
But that was his big thing was collecting neon signs, and I mean, some of the he still has some. So I got to see some of the ones that he had, and it was like, I think the lawnmower guy is still over
still in
there.
Yeah. Good. Really?
Yeah.
Super cool.
Yeah, but he's got some amazing
We're
stuff.
Get that
there,
set up so you can go over there and take a look at it. You would appreciate it.
It's like 20 minutes from here. We can do that.
Yeah. Very easy. So, but it's an amazing place. So, some of the other stuff he's got in there too is just like blow your mind, you know. I think he's got something like 39 Chevy Fenders.
Right.
NOS Fenders. So
that's weird.
Like,
that's weird math, man.
Yeah, I don't know. It was something really weird like that.
You
too.
Caught that.
Yeah, but I caught it.
Just,
yeah,
they were just all laid out there.
42, 39.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
it was something like that.
Yeah, one really thing that Little Vernon.
Little Vernon is not little.
Yeah. I've heard a lot of people in the Memphis area call him Little Vernon. But,
yeah.
But yeah, one thing he told me was he has a lot of his early cars that he built in the early years, and he still has them and used to drive the wheels off of them.
Yep.
But not terribly long ago.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, he drove to shows.
Right. Well, that was the thing with the NSRA.
Yeah.
You know, their thing was you drive the cars.
Yeah.
You know, and it still is.
Yeah.
You know, those guys, anybody goes to NSRA, like it's a rite of passage or whatever you want to call it to drive the car there.
You know, their giveaway, and Mike and I were talking about this week, the giveaway is got to be present to win.
Yes.
And they give away a car. And
the car must be on the property.
Yes.
You have to be registered, and your car has to be on the property that day.
Yeah.
And I've seen people lose it. Because their car was not on the property.
Wow. Oh, that's a heartbreaker.
Yep.
Well, moving on to the next guy.
Yes. Yep. That's way
I drove my Pinto. I have my Pinto.
If you're going to put your name in there, you know, you better make sure you're there. But, yeah, very, very cool. But talk a little bit about the Edge District itself, because I know you know some of the history of stuff around here, and it was the car spot here in Memphis as well,
right? Memphis's original auto row.
Yeah.
And you know, every building in this neighborhood was small engine repair or building or some obscure, like this was Cherokee Motors.
Yeah.
Makes no sense.
Right.
Memphis didn't have any Cherokee Indians. Chickasaw Indians.
Trail of Tears.
You know, and so we can't find one. Now, we do have some, you know, photos of the building when that was
era.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we received some of this stuff from the previous owner, back when it was Weekly Equipment.
Oh, really?
And cool. They came and they brought this big book of stuff. And yeah.
Oh, that's
cool. And his boys were here. Was like, they use a restroom up top. And he goes, we never had a restroom that clean. Here, when it was a small engine repair shop. But no, they chipped in and gave us a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
But every building in this neighborhood was auto-related to some degree. And, you know, it still is, with some, and you know, a lot of it gets scraped and they put something new and great on it for now.
Yeah.
But there's still a lot of, you know, of the roots here. And the reason I've kind of researched for that is Memphis was the, you know, distribution hub at the turn of the century because we had the river,
right.
But the world switched from river to rail. And when Carnegie figured out that new way to make steel at a, you know, bigger rate, and he kind of announced that hole when he built the bridge in St. Louis in the 1870s, it put a whooping on Memphis and its distribution.
We had to get our own bridge.
We had to get our own bridge. And, you know, by 1914, I think, the Harahan opened. And so now you could distribute stuff out west, but Memphis became as far south as you could go and still send stuff out west. And so a lot of industries settled here. We put it together, sent it out. And that's kind of who we are still to this day.
Yeah, that's used, right.
You know, purple and orange planes.
Yeah, that's
instead.
It. Yeah.
And so, you know, that's something like when visitors come here, we're like, yeah, I like to mix that in there because, you know, we have the busiest airport in the world from 11 to 4.
Yeah, 4 in the morning. Yeah. You ever watch the map? You watch the live map?
Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah.
So we have a competitor, and it's, I think it's Beijing. But it's still tit for tat.
I know more tonnage comes through Memphis than any other city in the world.
Yeah, that's
right. We lost that title to Singapore.
Yeah, right.
And 10, 11, and 12 got it back. And
back and forth.
Yeah, but you know, I've lived here almost my whole life, and that's the kind of stuff. I was like, well, I had no idea.
Right.
I had no idea. But I like that we've kind of reclaimed some of this building's original purpose by putting some cars in it. I just wish we could find a Cherokee. I would just any part of it.
Never even heard of one.
I was gonna say, what kind of engine was it?
Right.
Was it small? Like a
yeah. It was 24 to 29. that they made these things. So it's that era. It's that era of car, and then the Great Depression hit, and then everybody closed.
Oh, so it was a car?
Yeah, it was an automotive manufacturer.
I thought it was just an engine.
No, it's a full car, car. And you know, the lobby's kind of, you know, the building's got this beautiful facade on it and everything.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
That's the showroom.
Yeah.
What we're sitting in is the actual factory.
Yeah, right.
That's what all these trolleys are and all
that.
And there, matter of fact, on one of those trolleys, it's got a bend in it there, and you can tell... We call that the day someone was fired.
Right.
Because someone was doing something they weren't supposed to. But the biggest beam in here is in the shop.
Yeah.
In the back. Huge I-beam.
Yeah.
And it's got a pretty hefty
bend.
I don't know what they were doing there. But,
yeah, like, what'd you hit with that?
Somebody backed a forklift.
Because the whole thing slides back and forth. We're used to.
Yeah.
And so we were going to, because it's in the way. And so we were going to slide it up against the wall. And they did. Like, the roof started to come off the shop.
Oh, no.
And it's like, well, we're just going to cut it down. I was like, is there any way we can engineer around it? And so we had to move an entire air unit on the roof.
Wow.
And that's why that beam goes right through the wall and then comes out on the other side.
That's part of it.
I didn't want to move it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And didn't want to get rid of it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe they're picking the cars up and loading them on the rail. Because you have rail right out the back door.
That's
the old
right.
commercial
Yeah,
pier.
Right.
And so.
Right, yeah.
I don't know what they were doing. But.
That's right. Yeah, because I shot a couple cars down in what are they calling it? The ravine?
The ravine.
Is that what they're going to call it now or
That's
something?
That's getting
yeah.
close, too.
Yeah.
That'll be open soon. Yeah. And so Memphis Maid's moving there. It's got kind of an amphitheater.
Yeah.
It's walking distance of here.
Really
high
cool
cotton
little,
still
like,
right
crane
there.
Thing. Are they keeping that crane
The crane's
thing?
There. Yeah.
Oh, they
That's,
have to
yeah.
Have
yeah.
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 If yeah that was like Oldsmobile or something, wasn't it?
The Cadillac dealership, wasn't
no,
it?
No. Cadillac was a couple of doors down.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
This in the ravine, I feel like it was Studebaker or Oldsmobile. Somebody told me
Studebaker.
That.
This is where I look at Bob who works here and goes, hey, what is that? And
Bob would know.
I'm going to keep my mouth shut because there's a microphone. But yes, one of those things.
It was something like that.
The Studebaker. Studebaker was the church.
Okay.
Yeah.
One of the Cars and Coffees.
River Deep.
Yeah.
River Deep Church.
Right.
Okay.
River Deep Church. Right. So that was the Studebaker.
Yeah. I feel like the one in the ravine. I feel like somebody told me it was like Oldsmobile or something like that. It was one of the major automotive manufacturers there.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. See, if you didn't know that ravine was there, you'd never find it.
Yeah.
That's crazy. But it's huge.
Yeah.
It took a few weed eaters to get it going. there. It was pretty covered up. But that is going
to
be neat.
This is the back door to Kutsu.
So if
down
you go,
the hill.
Yeah, if you
yeah,
go,
so cut, like,
that little
when it
bridge,
goes that way.
That's a
yeah.
bridge.
Yeah,
that's a bridge.
That's
a,
yeah,
you
that's
drive
a bridge
over
that goes
it
across
it,
that street.
That area is that coming off Marshall going that way is not even the same.
No,
road.
Oh, no,
not when there, I was young.
That yeah. jets up.
Wonder
I,
Bread.
Is it a 5-story, 4-story? You know, they've got those condos that have gone up.
Yeah,
that's the Wonder Bread factory.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Right. It's called the Rise.
The Rise.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Right. Just like the bread.
Yeah, and then
I see what they did there.
I see what they did.
Great marketing, Memphis.
Right.
Yeah.
Clever.
And then Billy owned the motorcycle place there, right?
The cycle shop.
Yeah, cycle shop.
Yeah.
And he sold that. I wonder. Do you know what's happening with that building?
I don't.
Because it's a cool building.
I've been told it's like the most structurally sound building. On this.
Seriously?
That was Montgomery Martin who built this place, and they were going through. There's always an idea of what to put in there, and he's like, "That place is solid."
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, needs
I
a
wish
lot.
I wish I could have bought it.
Needs a lot.
Man, I don't even want to talk about it because I'm afraid some German billionaire who's listening to him stoke on Germans. This the auto body place.
Shh.
No. Okay. If I win the lottery tomorrow, we're all going to live there.
Man, that place is epic.
I will. Yeah. If there's any way I could do it, I would do it.
Man, me too. Me too.
Is it for sale?
Yes.
Coleman Taylor just sold.
Yeah.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah, I heard that was selling.
That's going to be the Rise, too.
Yeah.
That's
Rise favorite. Also. The second rising.
The Phoenix.
The second loaf.
That's right. We're going to call it Jesus for short.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Back. It's the second rising.
So how do you go about getting cars for this place? Do people approach you, or do you go find them?
You know, did y'all all see the initial offering that we had here? Just
at the gate.
We were doing everything we could to get cars. You're calling buddies and all that, and just hey, let me because. While I've always been into the hobby, I haven't been real involved in the club scene and doing all the other things. I just haven't.
Right.
All right. And so I didn't have the connections which, you know, these cars are personal. Folks,
they're family. These are family members. Family members. You're asking to borrow grandma. Can you do that?
And you know, they've been you know, father son projects, and someone's not around anymore, and it deeply personal. And so I didn't have those connections, and that is where.
But you had Bob.
I had Bob. That got it started. And since then, we've added more Bobs, right?
A couple Bobs.
Who are involved in the. And so he gives this place credibility. And the longer we're here, the more that people go, oh, I've heard of the Edge Motor Museum. My car will get. You know, the two that we just got in came from another museum somewhere.
Cool. They're making their tour.
And so that, you know, they've heard of us, and so we have a reputation, and they can look around and go, okay, this.
You're legit.
Yeah. You've got some really nice cars in here. We'll fit in fine. But I couldn't. Initially, you can't buy or build that kind of trust and credibility.
No.
You can't. You can't hire it.
No.
And so, you know, Bob was the retiring, guy. And he was recommended by one of our board members. Yeah. So
tell us about Studebaker Bob. That's how we know him.
Studebaker Bob.
You know what's funny is I knew Bob, but I didn't know he was. I hear y'all talking about Studebaker Bob all the time, and I had no idea that he was the same person.
It's the same one. Yeah. Yes.
After he clocks out, he becomes Studebaker Bob.
Exactly. But that's, I mean, to his credit, I mean, everybody in the community in Memphis knows him as that.
Yeah.
And, you know, they know him as being, you know, the guy as far as, you know, anything Studebaker especially. But, you know, about anything, that guy is as knowledgeable as it gets.
He has worked on. He's not just knowledgeable. He's skillful.
Right.
Yeah. All right. He knows how to do this stuff.
Yeah.
In a way that I've got no shot at. But it's not exposing as much as it's complimentary.
Right.
You know? And so, you know, someone can come in here today and go, okay, clearly this is a really nice place. And, yeah, my car will be
safe
here. Yeah. Right. Yeah. We didn't have that credibility. They would look at me and go, okay, you built a nice building. Why am I going to trust you?
Right.
And the only thing I could say is, well, I have my own car in here, and these are people that I wasn't going to, and, you know, what are you really, really doing here? And Bob added that credibility and was able to source a lot of these cars. And he also loves the fact that just folks are coming in, and what do? You sit here, hang out, and talk with cars with them? You know, okay. I can do that 20 hours a week. That's great. Yeah. It's air conditioned in here. This is nice. He has been an extremely valuable asset to this place. And I, looking back at it, you know, you never know what you're fully getting into when you do something. And I was way over my head in ways that I didn't necessarily think I was getting in over my head. Had we not found him, that would have been a problem.
Yeah.
That would have been a real problem. And, you know, they will come where he'll, like, actually retire. Hope that's no time soon. But when he does, this place is on its two feet because of what he was able to bring here in terms of membership, credibility, and inventory.
Yeah.
And that's a really big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's attracted other Bobs.
Yeah, that's right.
So what's Bob?
Well, that's the thing about Studebaker Bob.
What's Bob's last name?
Watkins.
Bob Watkins. There you go.
He just won the prestigious Pick Award. That's what's up front at our front desk, that award. And it's Memphis Travel does this.
Right.
And it's for people who are ambassadors of this city.
Really?
And, you know, I mean, you think of the other attractions in Memphis that do, and I was like, we've got no shot at this, regardless of how good he is, just because we're a new place.
Yeah.
You know, we're a new place. And I fill out the form, and I know what the answer is if I don't fill out the form, so I fill out the form. They come by and, you know, call the references we gave, and next thing you know, the guy won the award. Yeah.
That's epic for him.
And deserves it, but, you know, plenty of people deserve it, but you're not in the proper spot to actually get it. You know, you're up against the guy who runs the ducks around at the Peabody.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
Steve. Yeah, Duck Steve.
Different profile,
They're called Duck Masters, and that guy's epic. He gives a great tour. I've taken it. It's amazing.
Yeah. And so that was a really big deal. And it was a small way to go, hey, we can't pay you what you're worth here, but right. but maybe you can feel appreciated.
Well, and I don't think Bob really cares about the pay what he's worth type of thing.
A little bit, you know, and that's a good thing too.
Yeah. So Bob apprenticed Jeff that owns the shop across the street.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. That's how long Bob has been in car scene and car world and that predominant in Memphis area as far as cars go.
Yeah.
He apprenticed Jeff, and I think Jeff is. Got to be 55, 60 years old.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, it speaks probably, to someone. It's like going to Star Wars world, but like when you start seeing like
what?
Listen to what the story goes. Stay with me, America. Please don't kill me, Disney. But you get to see like the master and you know the next guy. When you look at somebody Bob, are you okay? It's okay. It's a long story. When you get to see the master and then the student and the student become a master, Bob's got a lot of people he has apprenticed and is currently apprenticing. And I've seen this from across the street at your shop.
Yeah.
And when you get to see the grandmaster or talk to somebody like that, you feel that presence. You're like, man, that guy has touched a lot of lives. Yeah. And he's actually when he wins an award like that. That's like a secondary award. It's great, but like his award probably is knowing that there's other Bobs that he's generated.
Yeah.
He's curated.
Yeah.
And he's a humble dude.
Did I do okay, Sean? Like,
Okay.
It was good. It was perfect.
And I'm sure it's epic, like for me, like putting myself in Bob's shoes, like being able to go by legitimate, valid mechanic shops that have good reputation, that do good work, and like you're the guy that apprenticed the guy that owns that shop. Like that would be a big deal for me to be like, dig that. A little bit of work that I put in became this.
Yeah.
You know? And he's repeating the exact same process with the next generation of mechanics that work for him. Which
and he's a part of that.
Yeah, that's cool.
You're a part of that shop because that shop wouldn't be happening if he hadn't learned out of this shop.
Yeah.
It's great.
Super cool.
Well,
I love it.
Bob also owns multiple cars, right? He owns a lot. He's got a Bricklin. He's got...
Hey, we got to think about it. His wife does Facebook and stuff, too. Yeah. Hang on,
that's true. That's true. Never mind. He only has a couple. He only has one or two.
Yeah, he's like, how many cars do you have? He's like, well, who's asking? Bob. Multiple.
Bob's friends have a lot of cars.
That's right.
So they let him drive.
And it's all over the map, too, with stuff.
Yeah.
Like he... Since he's been working here, he bought a little King Midget. This one's in his garage at home, so I can talk about it. Little King Midget thing. I'm like, what are you doing? He drove up to Virginia to buy this King Midget, threw it in the back of his truck, and I'm like,
yes.
That's epic. I don't even know what that car is, but I want to see it just because of the
name.
It
would fit on this table.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got a little... I think it's a Kohler engine or something like that.
For Gen 1 Kohler?
Yeah, that spark plug would
power. Yeah, there you go. Right. Yeah.
But, you know, it's always interesting. And you just go, what are you doing with a Marlin, right? What on earth?
Yeah.
You know, because it's only ugly from one angle. And I go, what's that? The outside, you know?
good cup holders.
But he'll start talking about it and pointing things out, and then talking about the not just on the car, but the engineers and the why behind this, that, or whatever. And you start going, you know what?
I guess if you're looking at it from an aficionado point of view instead of just beauty.
But, you know, from an engineering and design standpoint, even if you don't like the car, you can go, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. And so he tends to gravitate towards the eclectic, the oddball ones.
I mean, he has a Bricklin.
He's got a Bricklin.
And that's the only one I've ever seen.
I was going to say, I thought he was Bricklin Bob, because that was all I ever saw.
Yeah, that's another
Bricklin.
That'll work.
And I had no idea. The first Bricklin I ever saw, and then he explained everything about it, and it was like, well, this is a crazy story.
It's a crazy car. Could have been.
I mean,
could have been, yeah. Right? And
Canadian... Yeah. Subsidized car that
and when you see it, you're kind of shocked that that's what that is. You've heard of it,
right?
But it's like, damn, that's really one of I've seen him at Cars and Coffee the first time.
Yeah,
that orange Bricklin out there. It's like, what in the hell is that?
Or who painted that DeLorean orange?
That's
that gets him fired. I go, look, if you're gonna have that car and do that with the doors, that comment's gonna come.
Well, I thought it was a kit car. First time I saw it, that's
That's what I thought. Yeah. I thought that's a pretty cool.
And it's coming back.
Don't
as an electric that. Vehicle. Yes.
Is it really?
Don't tell that as Bob. Don't tell Bob that you thought it was a kit car.
No.
Don't tell Bob. I hope you don't watch this.
Yeah. No, when you see it from far away.
I think, is Michael J. Fox Canadian? This could have gone a whole different way.
Yeah. So the Bricklin's coming back.
The Bricklin's coming back. It's an electric car.
Wow. Who's putting it out?
It says Bricklin on. I don't know if someone bought the name or I don't know.
Yeah. So the DeLorean's coming back too, I guess.
Yeah. Also is an EV.
Well, there we go. Yeah.
No, but the Bricklin, it'll say Bricklin on it, but it's a three-wheeled and it's a little but it's not like a Slingshot or something. I mean, it's a finished car.
Yeah.
But
like a Morgan. We'll see.
Yeah, those Morgans
or something like that.
I was just looking at them.
I love Morgans.
You can get into a Morgan for like $35,000 now.
Yeah,
V twin.
Speaking of EV, you have a pretty important EV in here.
That
upstairs.
Yeah, upstairs. The pre-production prototype Tesla. Yeah, we like to say, you know, when you say that and people are getting their head around that phrase, it's a Tesla before Tesla ever built their first Tesla.
That's right.
This is the one Elon was like, oh, yeah, we could do this.
he made that car happen. You think, you know, you have younger folk coming today.
Yeah.
And they know nothing other than an EV being a super sleek, cool, fast, exciting car.
Right.
That was not EVs as we remember them.
No.
Yeah. It was kind of a dorky economical car. Yeah.
Right.
Right. Yep. Or even, you know, the Honda Insight. What are we doing? Yeah. Right. And so that's what Tesla was also doing. And Elon was attracted to Tesla, not because of the cars they were making, but because of the battery technology they had.
Right.
And he says, okay, but if. And stop me if this sounds familiar. He goes, well, we're gonna build a high-end luxury vehicle with a lot of margin in it, so we can perfect our technology, and then we'll scale.
Right.
Yeah. That's what Henry Ford did.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. I don't know if he'll ever admit that's where he learned it.
Right.
Or maybe they both just came up with the thought. But
and then we'll put it on a line, and we'll start putting parts on in that line.
But they built some engineering prototypes, and they were catching on fire and some other issues, and they went to what they call VP's validation prototype. And that's not just one of the validation prototypes. That's the one that traveled the country to raise money
for
the idea that we know is Tesla. And it's, you know, the owner has it, and he's got a remarkable story behind it.
Yeah, how do you even get into that car as the owner?
Well, has an investment. He runs an investment firm here in Memphis. He's local. Yeah. And we served together on a board. And he was like kind of understanding what we were doing here. And he goes, I think I got a car, but it's got a unique story behind it. He would have monthly meetings in the World Trade Center. And he missed his flight. One morning.
That day.
That day.
That's crazy.
And this, you see that? That happens every time I tell the story. The hair stood up on my arm.
I got the same.
And he's at the Atlanta airport, and he's watching World Trade Center, and he's supposed to be in that building.
Yeah.
And he's supposed to be in there. And these were his friends. He knew them. And the story's on the iPad, plus the logo that went with this. And he said, okay, I cannot let... folks who don't necessarily have America's best interest at heart make money off of oil. He liked the idea of, okay, this may be something. And so the first thing he did was pick up his entire company out of Memphis and move it to New York.
Wow.
Because I'm not letting these guys beat us.
Right. Yeah.
He was that committed to it. I mean, that moved by it. But, you know, time went by. Life, need to come back to Memphis.
Some of the realities.
Yeah, and so he came, you know, after several years, he goes, all right, I'm gonna come back to Memphis, but I'm not going to let this cause die. And that's when he came into this car.
Huh.
And so he bought the car and say, okay, that way it can still kind of stay alive. But, 20th anniversary, he kind of said to himself, hey, it's time to do something else with it, but he wants us to tell that story. And so we tell it on the iPad, which is also, you know, you can get it at edgemotormuseum.com. You just click on that Tesla and...
Yeah.
It's hard to tell.
Yeah.
You know, and it's an awesome car, and it's, you know, on the cutting edge of where we are today with this, for better or worse. And it is a unique, unique piece with a extremely difficult story.
And I think it looks better than the Tesla does now. I mean, I'm
with you.
Yeah, it's more racy looking. Yeah,
I bet it's fast.
Have you guys seen a Stinger? Yeah. Have you seen that company?
Kia Stinger?
No, I believe it's called a Stinger. I've seen it a couple times.
It was a
company that I don't know if it failed to launch or it had a couple years. That was an EV car as well.
Yeah, it
was sporty. It was. It could have been a front runner competition for that. I don't know what happened in the company, but
I'd also like to point out the fact that another one of Bob's cars is up there. It's still up there, right beside the EV.
Yeah.
Oh, the Ford.
A white.
Yeah, I saw that.
T model.
Yeah.
Even though Henry Ford was infamous black. For saying you can get it any color you want as long as it's black, he has a factory white.
You know why? Here, all right.
I love this.
Look, and I didn't know any of this.
Yeah, you talk
about today. He's like, "You're so knowledgeable." I was like, "Well, no, someone just told me this."
Right. I talked to Bob,
and I work here. When everyone else is busy, I give tours, and so you got to kind of know this. But he bought that car, and he didn't want that car, didn't need that car at the time. But it was from a friend who had that car a very long time, and he didn't want the most money for it.
Right.
He wanted it to have the right home, and Bob was the right home for it. So. He says, "Hey, I bought this car. What are we going to do?" And we just came to Tesla. Tesla and the T. Let's put it together. They do connect with that. We're talking about the assembly line. And
that's right.
But originally, you know, Henry Ford gets credit for inventing the assembly line. He didn't.
No.
Colt was doing it, probably better than anybody else.
That's
right. But they do deserve credit for the moving assembly line. That starts in 1914. Bob's car is in 1913. So
that's
it was still built in place. And, you know, when they went to the moving assembly line, part of keeping that line moving at a consistent pace didn't involve changing out paint nozzles and all that. Black paint dries faster.
That's right. Yeah.
And that's the decision-making point right there. And so his is correct. You know, it's got that – he was a national champion in 1967.
Yeah.
And you point that – and you don't win that award if you're the wrong color.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly right.
And it's like, well, it is correct.
Yeah. Epic. Wow. Epic.
And
I want that car.
It's,
of course, Bob always like, "I'll sell it to you." I'm like, "Nah, Bob, I can't afford that car."
We had a 1929 Model A Woody wagon here a couple weeks ago when the Ford Lightning media drive thing. Bob taught one of the college kids that works here just during the summer because it was his grandfather's Woody wagon. He was like, "Get in here. You need to know how to do this." And was getting, you know, doing all that.
Telling how to start it and all that.
Man, it's a lot to do.
Yeah.
And I was like, you got to keep thinking lawnmower, right? You get throttle and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And
he all that.
Had that kid driving that car at the end of it and going, "This is awesome.
That's epic right there."
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Driving his granddad's car.
Driving his granddad's car.
It's the difference between driving a stick. Have you ever drove ancient?
Right.
It's more like a tractor. That's right. It is.
You know how to work knobs. You look like an astronaut just sitting there flipping switches and moving.
Well, you start to forget stick. You're talking spark timing. I'm like, what?
I'm sorry.
Oh,
what?
No.
Sounds a little retarded. Let me just reach in here.
That's crazy. Yeah, no.
It's pretty.
But
epic.
Folks really like that. Just two cars parked next to each other, but you can still connect them.
Right,
and it's not just because they have four wheels, because no, they have some common threads between them, and folks really, really like that.
Absolutely,
yeah.
And it's the air conditioned cab.
Yeah, there it is. I thought it was a door opening.
We're going to point that out.
That's the big unit. It is hot. Yeah.
It feels amazing. It feels amazing. But
you got a little breeze. That's
it's
good.
It's a good view of where the automobile started to where it's currently at right now, or at least the direction it seems to be heading.
Yeah.
I won't comment on the fact that I hate the direction that it's
heading. I feel like by not commenting, you just commented.
Yeah, I may have, but you know, we'll see where it goes. We'll see where it goes. You know, maybe I'm building hot rods with
e-motors?
With AAA batteries in it. I don't know.
The hydrogen thing, I think that's... That's a movement toward keeping the old things on the road.
Yeah, I'm with that.
You know, I'm 100% on board to see where that goes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
Well, you never know, you know?
But worst case scenario, corn whiskey's easy to make.
Yeah. Well, you know, they always talk about somebody had figured out how to run them off of water.
That's true.
That's
hydrogen.
But they've all
hydrogen.
They've all been killed.
Mysteriously by the government.
Weird, right? You get shot twice in the back of the head by yourself.
Right. But, committing suicide.
Yeah, suiciding yourself. But yeah,
And didn't we talk about doing that? Doing a podcast on all the people, missing technologies and people who've been killed in the.
Yeah,
in the car industry over things.
Yeah, that's a deep, dark. That'd be a side shot episode.
Friends of Hillary.
Oh. We had a rule about not going political.
That's right. We're not supposed to go political.
Yeah.
Oh. And that's been Hot Rod Blues. Right. Checking in from the Edge Motor Museum.
Keep us out of it, man.
Yes.
He's like, and I'm going to have to explain that to the board.
It was a good 3-year run. And for us, it was a good 6-month run.
Was it?
So what's the future? What's the future?
This place here?
What's the goal?
You know, originally we were going to rotate out themes. It's the Edge Motor Museum. This is the American Speed Exhibit.
Right.
It does just mesh really well with all the things here. The longer I've been, there are so many cars that still have stories to tell that we haven't had on display yet.
Absolutely.
You know, and there's some things you got to have.
Like hot rods.
Like the Thunderbird, like the Corvettes and things.
Like the hot rod.
Yeah, but maybe a different hot rod someday in our future. But there's certain parts of the story that you just got to have here. But man, and one of them, you know what it is. No, we're not talking about it because we're doing an unveiling on it. It's behind the wall.
It just
came in. Something we've never had before. Frankly, probably wouldn't have thought to have it.
Right.
That is a huge part of the story.
Yeah.
And it's something. You know, we used to have a Dodge Dart GT in here.
Yeah.
And this is where it kind of hit
really
me. What's that now?
Really unique.
Really unique. Yeah, right? Yeah. But here's the thing. I mean, I had the push button. And not the Hemi Dart, just the Slant 6 Dodge Dart GT. People would walk in here, look over the wall, see that car, and, you know, you got all this millions of dollars of stuff all around it. And they go, no way, you got a Dart. They have a memory of a Dart.
That's right.
There's a connection to the Dart. And unless you had some rich uncle, you didn't have the 67 Vet. And, you know, right. I don't have a memory of getting in trouble in high school in a lot of these.
Right.
Yeah.
But I do in a Dart.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And so having those type of cars.
Right.
Yeah. To keep it from being a little, you know, too uppity in here. Yeah.
Right.
And there's a lot of that. And so we're going to hang on to this theme a little bit longer.
Yeah.
I
would like one, the history of work.
Yeah.
You know, and kind of the development of the pickup truck.
Yeah.
I think that'd be kind of cool.
That would be
cool. I do think that would also resonate with not only the other attractions here in Memphis, but people come through the door.
Right.
To see, okay, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. I would even entertain one day. I saw at the Peterson Museum once, and they were on the Cars on the Mall as well, so that just extreme customized cars.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you can't get as many of them. Yeah. And I could see that with everything from the, you know, hydraulics
riders.
And bags and pinstripes
okay,
and lowriders and things like that.
Chopped Merc.
You could do something
all
like that.
Body Swamp 51.
And here's the thing. I don't think Memphis has as many of those cars.
Nope. Yeah.
But we do have these cars.
Yeah.
And we can build our reputation and our credibility doing these cars, and then maybe can branch out into something else. Maybe get involved with some other museums in the country.
Yeah.
And,
personally, how would your palate feel about that? I know you.
This is a big building that needs to be paid for. So no.
The restore mods.
Initially, I would go, no. But you know, I would say that there are so many cars that have come. Like when Bob walks you around his Marlin.
Yeah.
Well, what are we looking at here? And then you go, okay. I would guess, knowing myself, I would grow an appreciation for whatever genre that came in here.
Yeah.
Thinking, okay, that's pretty cool. Yeah. And I get it. Then it's our job to tell it to get people excited about it. We don't just turn you loose in here.
Yeah.
I mean, we can if you want to.
Right.
But we try, you know, we tell the story, get you involved. We don't just throw an iPad at you and go, hey, go read that and take some pictures. No.
Yeah.
And, you know, some folks want to be left alone. Others get... I think if you can do it that way, I think you can get people interested in just about anything you do in here.
Absolutely.
We're small.
Right.
We don't have this massive footprint. So it is important that it's a theme.
Yeah.
It is important that it tells a story, because I think that grabs people. Mm. Guys, there's not enough of just us to run a museum anymore.
Right.
You need to engage folks that, you know, I like it when folks, you know, they really just had a wait at Sun and they're in here and they walk out of here going, this is the coolest thing we did when we were in Memphis.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's a win.
And, you know, Memphis, there are a lot of real deal historical hot rods in the Memphis area that are still running these streets. I mean, yeah. I mean Lightning's car, yeah. his 32, like real mm-hmm. Memphis hot rod, been in Memphis, you know, since the beginning. There's a lot of really nice, like traditional, well-built hot rods yeah. in Memphis that have been around this area for 70 Look, years.
I learned more about it during your three-day event here in our parking lot than I had known before, and it did right. increase. I was like, okay, I get it.
It's part of it.
I get
yeah.
it.
Yeah, and yeah. it's epic. I mean, I don't know. I feel like we harp on it a lot, and it's probably because we're all passionate about Memphis and we're passionate about cars. But I feel like Memphis really gets shafted on their place in car history.
Yeah, acknowledge it.
You know, I feel like they really do. I mean, because a lot of horsepower and the development of horsepower came from right here. You know, and they don't get credit for that.
Well,
that bothers me.
I was sitting yesterday when we had the thing at Hernando's Hideaway. I was talking to Rob Wilkins, who is, you know, he's with Memphis Street Rods. And he's a young guy. He's 38, I think. And he doesn't come from here. I can't remember. I want to say he's from Phoenix or something, or Louisiana maybe. Yes. And
what? Yeah, I know, Phoenix right? or yeah. Louisiana? No,
he's from somewhere else.
They're close. I think they're neighbors.
I remember
maybe New Hampshire. No, right, one of those.
Well, he was in the military, so
Guam.
So it was Guam. He was all over the place. But no, I remember him saying something about Shreveport, growing up in Shreveport or something. So, but anyway, but he was talking about. When he lived out in Phoenix, you know, it had a lot of California culture that was down there. So yeah. There was a lot of cruising, but it was cruising, right?
Right.
Whereas here, we have a lot of muscle. Like
right.
it was always there was cruising, like you cruise up and down summer and stuff, but it was about
your car
horsepower.
Better be fast.
Yeah, it was about horsepower. You were gonna go race somewhere or something.
That's right.
For the most part, you know. So there were not. You don't have a bunch of big cruiser cars in
yeah.
Memphis.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Right. So, well, and yeah. Memphis is one of those very rare places in the country that have, you know, you got how many raceways that are 15 minutes from here, 20 yep. minutes from here.
Yeah. Were.
You were. Well, I mean, yeah. you still got Holly Springs. You still got Bahalia. You can still go over.
385?
Yeah. You still got 385.
Yes.
You still got Sam Cooper, which goes right behind your house.
You're talking about the Nankanabon.
The Nankanabon.
Yeah, I was just saying.
Very German.
Sam Cooper behind my house.
Have they finished surfacing it yet? Because that's going to be awesome. Yeah.
Every Friday, Saturday night.
You got the new drag strip they just put in. I think it's called Summer Avenue.
Yeah, so
they did research the summer. Yeah.
So here's something interesting about that. If you don't know Memphis culture, Summer Avenue was the drag strip raceway in.
Still is.
Well, so that's what I was about to say. We make a call the other night, and we get there, and there is probably 150 cars in the TJ Maxx parking lot, and they are lining it, and they're doing their little shows in
slideshows.
Slideshow, whatever. But they're also, to get in there, you obviously have to do Summer Avenue. So there's drag racing going on.
That's
oh,
right.
Oh, yeah.
And out, to the chagrin of the Memphis Police Department, part of me was like, oh, my God, it's still happening. And then, and like, these aren't the 50s, you know, souped up, 60s souped up. But
right.
It's all the manner, same thing. All manner of Dodge Super Bs and Challengers, because that's the brand here now.
Yeah. Right, right.
But it's still American muscle. And
you,
there was a GT500 that was out racing a race. I want to say that it was supercharged, the Challenger.
Yeah.
But I remember looking at this thing.
Yeah, it's probably a demon.
I don't know if it was that. It might have just SRT8. Anyway,
right.
Regardless, they lined up.
Right.
We had an automatic alarm. Let me tell you why I was there. We're at a storage unit place, obviously the fire department.
Right.
There was so much tire smoke that got sucked into the air exchange, it set the alarm off at the storage unit place. When we walked in, so this whole scene is, I still got a video of it. This whole scene's going on, it's clouded smoke.
You're right.
And I knew what it was when we were pulling up. I was like, I know exactly what's going on here. We got into the building, and I was like, it smells like burnt rubber in here. and the lieutenant and everything's doing, you know, checking just to make sure.
Right,
that's what
doing
we do.
His job.
While they're doing that, I'm on the outside team. I just went and watched the show. And I watched the cops chase them from the TJ Maxx parking lot to the AutoZone parking lot. And then I watched the Challenger get pulled over in the parking lot.
Yeah.
He was nice. A young kid in his dad's car. You could
yeah,
tell.
Of course.
I was like, oh. I was like, but that's the same story that was happening
when we were kids.
When we were kids and right. before that.
And when Marshall and them were kids.
Exactly.
You know what I'm
right.
saying?
It's
thing.
Been happening for 70 years on Summer Avenue, that exact same thing. Yeah. For sure.
So when I got out of the Navy in 93, I brought home a 7442 that I had. And I never had a car to cruise Summer Avenue, but when I came home from the Navy, I did.
Yeah.
And it was the first damn place I went.
That's what I'm talking yeah. about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Sure did.
Richard, did you cruise Summer Avenue?
I did not cruise Summer Avenue.
You were from a different part of the city, weren't you?
I think I told you we were on Ridgeway. Yeah.
You never stole the dad's Porsche?
No, I didn't.
No.
He's like,
No, I didn't.
What?
Yeah.
Never even thought
he
about
did,
it.
He did loan it out to me.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whatever.
Prom?
Here. Talking about the interest in various types of cars. He and his buddies would loan cars to me when I'd go out on dates in high school and college.
That's cool,
right? Yeah. Yeah. And I remember if you took one of their nice cars, right? And these are bond brokers, and so it's all that kind of stuff. The world absolutely hates you.
Yeah.
If you're in a Porsche or
right.
something like that.
That's right.
But he had a guy named C.J. Pickering who was a board member here, and he moved to Austin, who was his best friend, would still be his best friend. And he would loan me his 63 Lincoln or a 59 Cadillac
hey,
or something like that.
Come on.
Completely different vibe
on that date. The Jeep wave was not inherited by the Jeeps. That's classic car stuff. Mm-hmm. You see some Americana going down the road, everyone's like, hey...
People run you down and have some story to tell
yeah,
you
and
it's got a different aura around it yeah. and I was like okay this
there's right. a lot of love there's a lot of love from society yeah. about
and, that preserving. That helps out on a date
yeah.
right
yeah absolutely need good vibes only on
yeah.
this date
right. and the parking is always great yeah,
yeah.
You go to the Orpheum or something just
park
right out front.
They
right
want,
out, right
they
out
want
front.
Because they want you there.
They
yeah.
want you there.
That's
yeah.
Go to the arcade. But, they want you
but,
there.
Yeah. Yeah. But an 18-year-old kid pulls up in a 911. They're like, screw you, buddy. Yeah. Parking's yeah. everything.
Dad, that's $25 to park, pal. It says 10 on the side.
not for you.
Not for you.
It's luxury
fans.
Tax. Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
I will. I have his. It's to him. It was the last Porsche 94 C4 wide body.
Really.
Yeah.
You still have
I
it?
I still have it.
Come
and it's
on,
not, it's not my
awesome.
Kind of thing, but that's my dad's car. He
right.
had
yeah,
that
yeah,
for forever.
Cool. Yeah.
And he's, you know, I've got other cars and other things. Sell it one
right.
day. You do whatever you want to this because it's yours.
Right.
But that's my car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know what. Anyway, so my
that's
wife
cool,
and I,
though.
We took it so. To we took it to a restaurant, nice restaurant in
yeah.
Overton Square. And we've now done this twice. You pull right up front. This is valet parking.
Right.
Yeah. You pull right up front, get out. The guy sticks his head.
Yep.
He goes, you're good right there.
Yeah, that's right.
He
yeah, don't even want to park it.
He can't drive it.
He can't do a stand.
That's right.
Yeah,
there it is.
He goes, in fact, if you'll just put it like right there, it'll be good.
Yeah. I drove my 48 to Atlanta one time. We stayed in a really nice hotel. And, of course, they have valet parking, you know. Me and the wife are dressed to the hilt, even though we're not from that side of the track. But I pull up in the 48, and, like, the valet guy's like, yeah, you're good.
You're good.
I'm like, man, it's got an automatic in it. You can drive. He's like, nah, dude, I don't want to drive that car. Okay, all right, fine.
See, I love a stick shift. It's a theft deterrent
yeah.
for the younger generation. I could just practically leave mine running and the door is unlocked and I'm not sweating it being gone, man.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
not going anywhere.
The price of fuel? Come on.
Yeah. right.
Are you
right,
insane?
Right.
So my wife won't drive a car unless it's a stick.
Good for her, man.
Yeah.
Good for her.
And so she goes, she has a lot of corporate lunches and dinners and stuff at like Capital Grill. She has like a 2007 Civic Si. It will be parked out front every single time because nobody can drive the stupid thing.
That's epic.
Yeah, that's crazy. She's like, well, I'm not walking.
Right.
You know, like
right.
I'm in heels and whatever. I'm not walking all the way from the
second
the parking garage
parking
and all
garage.
That or whatever. They're like, well, you can just leave it there, ma'am. She's like,
here's
fine.
Here's
your
ticket.
You
there you go.
So what was your first car, Richard?
A moped.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, and if
yeah.
I could find it, I had an Arrow 80.
Okay.
And then had a Elite Deluxe 125. Remember that was the one
upgrade.
That Jimmy. Oh, that thing was nice. And I liked it so much. I didn't even get my driver's license until I was 17,
really?
18.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And it was a first car started driving was a 86 Jeep Laredo.
Jeep Laredo.
Nice. Jeep nice. Guy. And then had to start driving a little bit more when I went to school. And so we got the it was the truck that they always put in the newspaper, but yeah. Doesn't really exist. Yeah. This one actually existed. It was way in the back, and it was a 87 F-150.
Yeah.
Bench seat, cloth, had air.
Yeah.
That was about it.
Had
the straight six, and drove the wheels off of that thing. And my daily has always been a pickup since then. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dig uh-huh. that.
Yeah.
And, super cool.
Moving day, whenever you got to get out of one truck to the other, it's the worst. Because everything I need is in the back of that truck in terms of tools and yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And so as much as I enjoy driving other cars and experience, it's usually for that's what we're doing.
Utility.
We're going on a drive. Because I'll have it. And I'm like, oh, it's in my truck.
Yeah.
It's in my truck.
Yeah, for sure.
It was like, we needed a zip tire. He's like, I've got one in my truck.
Yeah. Amen.
But no, that Jeep, I really liked that Jeep. That was cool.
Yeah.
I had an RX-7 for a while.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Year.
That was pretty cool. I would have been an 88.
Oh, man. Yeah.
A little underpowered. They were a little bloated at that point.
The 93 and up, the 93, 97, obviously the one and a half. They hold their values so much.
I'd go older.
Really?
Yeah, some of those original ones. It was more like a Z car back then.
Yeah, so you're like a Supra era from that era. You know, everyone remembers
XR4Ti era. Oh, yeah, okay. There we go.
The older Supras. The, you know, like everyone knows Supra as like the hero car in Fast and the Furious. But like the generation before that was competing with the 300ZX and the 280Zs at the time.
That's right.
Turbocharged. Very cool for the 80s.
I don't know anything about that.
No, me neither. And I don't want to comment on Supras.
Yeah. You said it already. It came out of your mouth.
So I've been cruising a lot with the wife in the truck. We'll come home from work, and we'll get out and slide around Midtown a little bit.
Dig
it's
that.
Kind of nice to have that old thing back on the road.
I know. It's great good, to see another one running.
Absolutely.
Somebody else in our group that actually has something running. It's awesome.
You weren't watching the social media, were you?
I did see you got something.
You can say it.
It looks like
running.
It's running.
More than that, pal.
Yeah. Does it have a windshield in it?
Doesn't need one. It's air conditioning. Right?
Just it's
automatic,
hot.
Automatic air conditioning. Good to go. That's funny. Well, also, we need to plug the, this week, is Cars Under the Stars out at the drive-in.
That means that he just threw you under the bus, and this thing has to be done before Friday.
Ooh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
He'll have it done by Friday.
What Sean doesn't realize is that Sean has the editing power to take him all the way down to zero on the volume.
Yeah, there you go. I couldn't hear anything that bastard said.
No, but so Mike McCarthy is doing Cars Under the Stars out at Summer Twin. Well, Summer Drive-In. It used to be Summer Twin Drive-In.
Yeah, the only drive-in in Memphis.
Yeah. But, I didn't even know. We got out there, and it's going to be on the fourth screen out there. And I never paid attention. I think any time I'd ever been out there, it was on the other screen on number three. Well, those are all lined up correctly toward the screen. Like the humps are lined up correctly toward that screen. But on four, it comes around differently. So we're going to have to line up cars differently on four to look at the thing. Yeah. So, it should be a lot of fun. We're going to have a Corvette Summer. Is the first movie, and then American Graffiti is the second movie.
Nice.
And if you have a Corvette, get in for $10. If you have a classic car, you get in for $15. And if you have just a regular commuter car, it's $25 for a carload of people. So
that's such a great bargain, to be able to get.
Unless
into
you're by
price.
Yourself and you're just meeting friends, and you drive a utility truck.
I'm sorry.
It's okay, man.
Don't touch me.
You gotta get a bunch of homeless people in your truck and drag them in and cut them loose.
The truck does smell like homeless people. Yeah. There's not enough.
I think there's a meeting websites like Farmers Only or something.
Farmers Only.
Stinky utility truck only.
utility truck only.
Just the tools. .net. Yeah, I wouldn't let you go with that.
Oh, man.
Well, any big events coming up? I mean, you guys have events here every now and then and stuff.
We've got monthly Cars and Coffee. And the last several have been really, really good. I feel like we're less weather dependent now. Yeah. Like, you know, folks want to come.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's the second Saturday from 9 to noon here. And then the second Saturday in October, we don't do the Cars and Coffee. It's our actual car show.
Yes.
Right.
And I love that car show.
Yeah.
You know, because of where we are, it attracts a wider range of cars.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you bring a car, you're a judge. You know,
right.
We don't have the clipboard guys.
No,
you know, and they're great. But
last year was awesome.
We had 155 cars last year.
Mm-hmm.
We had a couple food trucks last year, and we were committed to pulling that car show off, even when it was COVID.
Right.
And we did. We pulled it off.
Yeah.
And we're trying to grow it a little bit each year, make it more of where it's not just the car folks that are coming.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's bring in the neighborhood. Let's bring in folks from. It's like, I don't have a car. No big deal. Come.
Right.
Yeah. You know, come. It's free.
That's
you don't get to vote, but you know, come and
right.
check it out. Get a hot dog or get something from Stick'em is one of the places coming, and the fry guy, and get a coffee stand.
Yeah.
And some of the stores are now like, okay, this is actually good business for us.
Thank God.
They'll stay open.
Yeah.
And we get some extra vendors and things like I have. You know, you've made it as an event when I got an unsolicited email from someone who wants to do tanning booths. In hot tubs. As a vendor. I was like, hey, this isn't a convention center. We're just outside.
Are you sure?
It was like, oh, well, we can just set it up. I was like, I don't, you know, with as many cars as we had, I don't know if we have room for an empty hot tub.
Are the hot tubs going to have water?
Right. I think they'd be.
Yeah, there you go.
It's October 8th, right? So
sign me up. Yeah, any day of the year is a hot tub
hot
day.
Hot tub day. But clearly, Memphis Travel's done a good job putting the event out there, and so we're getting some of those calls, which are kind of fun.
Yeah, yeah, we're at John Deere dealership. We're wondering if we could line up a few.
And you know, 2 years ago we had the Wienermobile come. They're busy this year. They couldn't come. And so,
turn their nose.
Yeah. Well, we had Mr. Peanut come.
Yeah. Do you think there's a problem? That, like they're and they have a problem with each other?
It's like a gang.
We're not coming. We don't like the company.
Yeah, we heard you had the Peanut, the Nut Wagon.
That little one monocle bastard. It's strictly wieners around here, pal. That's nuts.
There it
is. Here, get to that. When we had the Wienermobile when it came, because I said we were going to do a live broadcast on Instagram and all that, and they handed me a sheet of acceptable puns.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Like, these are,
do you still
this
have the sheet?
The, this
tell
is
me
what
you kept the sheet.
They emailed it to me. Yeah, I could dig it up.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Yes.
And so it's hey, this is how we refer to the car. This is how you can refer to us.
If you could email that sheet to Sean so we can dub it into this, that'll be epic.
But it's all the, you know, hey, this is what.
Give me your top three. I know you remember a few.
Of acceptable ones?
Yeah. Wait, was there like a naughty list?
There was not a naughty list, but yeah, right.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess they were, you know, just
so what are
obvious,
they? What are the people called that drive the wiener?
They're interns, aren't they?
No, they 6 months. That's the other thing.
They rotate them out?
Yeah, you only get to do it 6 months. And I think that's probably really, because it sounds like a really cool, fun job. You get to go all over the place, see the country. But imagine if that's just your job for an indefinite term, just holding that wheel and going,
I'll just drive this thing into a bridge and back.
It's exactly the movie quote that I went through. Right. Like but, you know, when you're 6 months, it's like, this is going to be awesome on a resume. Everyone, it doesn't matter what you do.
Resume?
Whatever. If you go into an interview.
Drive a huge wiener.
Yeah, they're all
it's college kids.
They're all going to sit there and go, all right, yeah, you're qualified. You're going to get, but tell me about driving the Wienermobile for 6 months.
I see you spent six months on a wiener.
Like the advisor was like, you need to stand out from the other candidates next year.
I drove a big Oscar Mayer wiener for 6 months.
There you go.
And let me tell you, I've seen some things.
It changes a man.
That's right. You don't remember any of the phrases that were acceptable?
Here's what I don't want to do. I don't want to misremember the other ones that we had. We did.
He would like to have them back.
And it was really up in my head when I'm doing this.
I'm sure. That's a great Freudian slip moment where you're just like, don't say it. And I said it. On live TV.
We're done here. But we did, when we put it out and announced that was coming, one of the owners of a car here on display
Because I have the original, I'm trying to remember who the artist was, the original rendering of
the Wienermobile.
Of the Wienermobile.
What?
Wow. And it's down in the archives over here. And I'll pull it out right after. It's amazing.
Wow.
Like, even the drivers are like, how did you get this?
Like, wow. How would they know? They're only there 6 months.
No, but you're talking that kind of history. Yeah. I know it's the Wienermobile, but that kind of history exists in this town. And
right.
Oh, until you have a place to kind of share it. And yeah. They, yeah.
Anyway. I bet you the Oscar Mayer people are all over you trying to get their hands on that. Is that acceptable? Did I do good?
Hey, they were impressed.
Anyway, the VP. Yeah, it's an impressive thing. What about the nuts? Anything good with the nuts?
That was a terrible lead in.
It's a segue into that. It was a good time.
I did ask. They said, no, they can't drift it. And I was like, really? No, because they do, they call it hot dog high.
They have to go to training.
And they do something in the yeah. It's an airplane fuselage.
Yeah.
Is that what
for
it is?
The most part. For the most part, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy, man.
I had no idea.
I didn't know that
either. The more you know.
Millions of dollars of cars on loan behind us.
This is the liveliest part of the conversation.
Oh, man.
Yeah, hey, if somebody cancels on you guys, come back to our car show, the Wienermobile. Yeah. We'll clear out a spot for you.
Yeah, the planters guy is all fiberglass.
But you know what? It comes with Mr. Peanut.
Oh, yeah.
It does.
Okay.
Yeah. And so he dances around his, Wienermobile, there it is, and there's snacks,
that's it.
And it's neat, and you get the little weenie whistles that they give
you. Yeah, all they give you is the whistles. They don't even have any Oscar Mayer wieners on it.
I know. Why wouldn't they? You would think that they'd have a grill on that thing.
I think that they can steam it, and they can keep them warm. It was during the semi-COVID time.
Oh, because it was COVID.
They weren't bringing them out. And so I think that may be back, because this last, when I filled out the application time, it said, hey, will you be serving anything?
So somehow giving out a plastic whistle that you stick in your mouth is more.
It was hermetically sealed.
Is that a...
So maybe it says don't.
Don't blow it?
Is that a meat whistle?
Yeah.
No, come on.
All right. What else we got? We need to be wrapping this up. We're going to go all day.
I'll beep that.
Let's just, yeah, please.
So,
sorry, guys.
Yeah, no.
When are you doing the unveiling of the new car? We got a sneak peek of.
First things first, that 63 Vet that we got in that we've been wanting, we're going to rearrange this current. Look, it's going to go on the center turner.
Oh, okay.
So the Kaiser is going to go in the first spot here where the Glasper is. The Glasper's going to go breathe a little bit.
Okay.
Needs to.
Yeah.
Needs to. But that door on the Kaiser will be visible from the aisle right here.
Oh, that's cool.
And so once we get that car here, we also have one or two other leaving to make room for some other returning cars that we've had in the past.
Yeah.
I think the Talladega may be. There may be a swap there. We hadn't had that one very long, but it'll swap out.
It is a cool car.
It is a cool, very cool car.
Yeah.
And a bunch of underrated history behind it.
Yeah.
Again, I had no idea. You know, I'm like, oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we like to do these things on Saturdays with Cars and Coffee. Invite all the members. That's a perk of membership, getting to come and be a part of it and all that. And so in the... maybe in 3 weeks when we do the
dig that
when we do the next Cars and Coffee.
Richard, I gotta say, I'm a member. I've never gotten an invite.
You get the
you don't get to check your emails.
I'm just messing with you.
Yeah, I do.
No, I do. Look, Richard is fantastic. Like, this place will send you handwritten cards for being involved with here. Like, that is one of the things that, like, anytime we do anything here, whatever happens here, and I get a handwritten card from this place, like, normally I'll text him or something. I'm like,
send me a picture of it.
Yeah. Handwritten card, man.
Wow, this is epic. We did a handwritten note, and we've done this all 3 years, for the folks who bring a car to the car show. You know, because this is a big ask for a lot of these cars.
Yeah.
Coming, you know, if you're coming from Tremovaville, as I call it, out there. I mean, it's a big ask to come down here. We do appreciate it.
Yeah.
And we're trying to, you know, position this as a little different.
It's little things like that, though, that mean a lot, really.
Yeah.
It's going that little extra... That little extra mile to do things, personalize.
I do remember, because we do the hot rod stamp or the Hot Wheels stamps.
Yeah,
we order for that. You get the that black one. What's it called? Is that, yeah, it's got the crossbones on it. Hot red. Yeah. I was like, because not everyone appreciates that stamp.
You're right.
Yeah, someone might, some people might be disturbed by it a little bit. I was like, oh, no. Oh, no, no.
You're like, I know just the guy.
I got a roll of them just for you. Yeah, I can pay the power bill with that and send them the mic.
That's right. Two things.
That's hilarious.
Thank you for noticing.
Yeah, absolutely. It was handwritten by his daughter, actually. Mm-hmm. That's how I was like, wow, and sent him to him. He's like, my daughter.
You're saying
wrote
child
that.
Labor? Is that what you're saying?
Volunteer.
Volunteer.
Yeah, voluntold.
There may have been a civic service point involved or something.
It was that or trash pickup. Which one you want?
Right. Yeah. And her penmanship is excellent. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sixth grade, your penmanship's still pretty good.
Yeah. I don't know. They're not letting them do calligraphy anymore.
Well, her handwriting is fantastic.
Cursive, excuse me.
Really? They haven't done calligraphy.
It wasn't a wedding invitation. It was a.
They don't learn how to write cursive anymore?
No. They hadn't done that in years.
Really?
Yeah, my daughter.
I didn't know that.
It's a big deal for her, for when I kind of teach her and show her. And yeah, that it's, you know, it's kind of a lost art. Yeah,
huh.
For sure.
But we can type with our thumbs now.
I mean, I can do my signature in cursive, but I haven't done cursive in so long.
I bet you still can. Yeah. I bet you could.
Yeah. We were programmed, man. It's in there somewhere.
Yeah. You've got no shot at a Z. Right. A lowercase
man,
Z.
There's right. No way you do. The uppercase Z is pretty bad.
Uppercase G, lowercase Z.
D's. Oh, no. Uppercase D.
I can do
uppercase G.
I got the D, no problem. Yeah.
Killing me.
Nobody? Nobody?
Thank you for coming to the hot dog.
Nobody?
I got it.
Mm-mm. Bueller?
No. Low-hanging fruit, man.
Well, what else? What else we got to announce?
So you say 3 weeks, the unveiling. You're hoping?
We announced most of this. Thank you.
Yeah.
We announced most of that on Instagram. And so what I'm telling you, we don't have it totally figured out yet.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would guess at the next Cars and Coffee, because again, we only get that vehicle for 6 months. And so I don't want to sit in back there hiding for too long.
That's right.
Moving these cars around is stressful.
Yeah.
but it's a good excuse to get them all fired up again and everything. And
right.
So here, and I'll show you where they are later. The Hemi Dart that was here, the body was acid dipped, the bumpers were. Basically tinfoil, and so they said you can't push it.
Your hands will go through it.
Yeah. You'll dent it, and so we drove that thing.
Yeah. Oh my god.
In here,
and it shook the building.
Little torquey. And we had to replace a couple of the bumpers here.
Yeah. Put some black marks on.
Yeah. And then there's a pretty healthy skid mark in the garage as well from that thing. And we weren't trying.
But just wanted to go.
Just that. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, easy. And I was like, no.
It does. There is no easy.
It does a lot well, and easy is not on the list. And so
that brake booster's doing all it could to keep it.
And so, we're going to move, shuffle some cars around here, and trying to get it, keep it still and
right.
In chronological order without too many big gaps.
Right.
And so there's one other one I'm trying to source to get in here. But, we'll bring it in here. Follow us on Instagram, Edge Motor, and that's where we announce it and broadcast.
Yeah.
Broadcast that stuff.
Yeah, they do a lot of stuff.
Yeah. And where can they find you on the web?
Yeah.
Oh, edgemotormuseum.com. We do the Facebook thing. We're a small organization, which means I'm the guy doing all that stuff. I have no idea how Facebook works.
Right.
I do know that everything I try and I've messed it up. But everything we do on Instagram repeats on Facebook. So if
That's
you
right.
just do the Facebook, you can find us there, Edge Motor Museum. And do a little bit on Twitter as well. But Instagram I get.
Yeah.
And so that's where we kind of do everything.
Okay.
There. Edgemotormuseum.com. You can do membership, buy tickets, learn more about who we are. And the thing that we're really a little bit of a risk to doing this, all the stories that we write and the specs and the facts and the figures about the car and how much it cost and color names and all that stuff, all that research isn't just trapped in this building.
Right.
You know, our goal is preservation through informative-based presentation. So we want that stuff out. So all the cool old ads and build photos and stuff that we have on the iPads here in the building, you can just go to edgemotormuseum.com, click it, and the same information is available there. There's a button that says cars. And it's not just what's currently on display. It's an archive of everything we've ever had in here.
Dig that.
Yeah. And, you know, I envision that
it'll grow,
5 years down the line, you're suddenly building a really cool
database
of American Speed. And so
I like it.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And then one other thing I've got to say is when they do Cars and Coffee, he makes like scones that are incredible chocolate chip scones.
Oh, of course Richard. He does. of course he does.
I don't make those, but yes.
That's really not good. The story.
Yes. My wife and I have three daughters, and if you live in that house and you're not named me, you know how to do this stuff. And so I
there's no shame, Richard.
It's okay, man.
No, I really have no idea.
I got to be honest, that ruined the whole mental image of the apron with the chef's hat, like Carson Coffee this morning.
Yeah.
I do make the coffee.
Hey.
He's a barista.
I do that. Yeah.
No, the scones are incredible, though.
Thank you.
They are really, really good.
So make sure to come out to the Cars and Coffee out here.
Absolutely.
If anything, for the scones.
Yes.
It's always been one of my favorites because, you know, it's not huge and crazy and have to deal with some idiots
trying to burnouts.
Yeah, doing burnouts.
I feel like that's been plaguing your event for a while now.
The bane of my existence.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to point any fingers. I'm not going to say any names. But I know that on somebody's list, it is to get a car finished just so they can come to your event and do a burnout.
It's all right.
But anyways,
it's not my event. It's not my event.
Y'all just finished with a pretty good one here on the Merc.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, one wheel peel that. Sean
you know what?
Did.
Everyone then, was closed by then.
Yeah,
right.
That's all right. Sure. He did almost hit the one car that was there.
Yes, that poor lady. I could see the fear in her eyes when I started doing it.
She could see the fear in yours as you realized your brakes weren't what you thought they were.
Yeah. But yeah, that was a big block forward, man. What are you gonna do?
That's right.
That's right.
I will say it was tastefully done.
There you go. There you go.
Tastefully done burnout.
Right. Yeah.
That's right.
Oh man.
That was a blast. That was a blast.
It was a lot of fun for sure.
I don't know if we thanked you properly, but
yeah, you did.
That was a big day for us.
Yeah. That was great for everybody.
None of the people who came knew we existed.
Right.
You know, and that's
That was the thought.
Marketing is hard. And
well, that's difficult. It's difficult. And, you know, yeah, like you said, like just being out there, getting out there, and you know, us getting the name out there as well, we can help you out with that kind of stuff. So that's
well,
awesome.
I think that's part of our responsibility as car guys in this area is to help the other car guys in this area. Well, to do whatever.
This has been cool, and thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, yeah, man.
to do it.
Absolutely.
It's been great. Well, we've been wanting to have you on for a long time. I mean, we just...
I've been complicated. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. You, us. Well, I mean, you know, we do it, and then we're like, oh, we need to do them. And then,
time?
You know, can't do it. It was tax time.
Remember, we did talk about the estate stuff that I do. Yeah, that is... That's a legit hard time of the year.
He's like, I'd love to, but can't quite do that. It's all right. Understandable. But, yeah.
No, thank you for having us.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's been cool.
Thanks for coming.
We'd love to do a part two or three or four. Yeah. As it grows.
As long as it's not one of the four tax times.
Well, yeah.
Right.
No.
So, Javier, you've really kind of held the brakes on this.
I'm not taking us out.
Come on, man. Take us out of the 30s
voice. I don't
want
to cheese it up, man.
That's right. You're not cheesing it up. Take it out.
I'm not doing it.
Do it. Do the Office Space voice. Come on, dude.
I don't know what you want to do that.
Because it's epic.
I don't even do that guy's voice or the whole line from the thing.
That guy's voice. Do that guy's voice. Take us out.
I don't even know if I can do that.
Okay, then just do the line.
Hey, Peter, man, the breath exam's on Channel 5.
And that's been Hot Rod Blues.
Thank you, Richard Vining with Edge Motor Museum.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.